Thanks, Susie.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this privilege of being able to attend to your word. Lord God, I just pray that your spirit would give us deep understanding. And these, in our context, are very pertinent words that Paul has written. And they can have such an impact, such an influence on our lives. And may it be so, but Lord God, only can it be through your spirit. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, wow, my mic is really hot. Or is it just me hearing that? Hey, we got a phenomenal new sound system and a new sound booth, and a lot of these guys have put in just dozens and dozens of hours building that, and we're really excited. Still working out some of the tweaks sometimes, but it's really nice. And have you noticed too, we don't have the mariachi music in the background now, so. They're clapping because I used to kind of just start to wiggle and everything, and it was really embarrassing. But anyway, great words, again, by the Apostle Paul, and very practical. Because let me ask this. I mean, even today, as you come to church, what are the stresses that are weighing you down? What anxiety have you been dealing with? Has been just bugging you, but more than bugging you, maybe even controlling, dominating your thoughts. What are those fears that you've been wrestling with? All right. So as you think of those things, in that context, let's get into God's Word and address those fears, address those anxieties and those worries. So what does he say? And really, I'm going to focus on verses 10 through 12 today is all. And then next week, talk about being dressed for the battle. But first, Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. All right, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And that is something that God so often throughout the Bible was saying to people, and especially to his leaders, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So you could see it especially as Joshua was assuming power from leadership. Moses was soon to depart, and it was Moses' words first in Deuteronomy to Joshua, and then God speaking directly to Joshua in the first chapter of that book. And he said it three times right in a row. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. Then you saw it also David, as he was speaking to his son Solomon and giving him advice. As again, David was soon to depart to be with the Lord. Gave his son Solomon the same advice, be strong and very courageous. And so we are called first to faith and faithfulness. And interestingly, the Hebrew word is translated the same. So the same word is used whether it's faith or faithfulness. So when we translate that word in the Bible in certain texts, we kind of translate it depending upon the context. But in the Hebrew mind, there was no difference. How could you have faith and not be faithful? We'll just break down the word. Do the etymology, as they say. Break down the word. Faithfulness. It's the state of being full of faith. Right? And again, if you are full of faith, then how can you not be faithful to the Lord to obey his commands? And the promises of God, the phenomenal, wonderful promises. I mean, love, joy, peace that goes beyond understanding. He's got these phenomenal promises. They are to those who, in faith, will be faithful. He doesn't have the same promises. Those promises don't hold for those who are not faithful to him. In fact, cited a text there in Jeremiah 42, and what had happened is the people of God, I mean, the Babylonians had come in and just devastated Jerusalem, and carted off the vast majority. Well, if they weren't killed, they were carted off to Babylon in chains, and just a small little remnant was left. And then all of a sudden there was this assassination on a leader that King Nebuchadnezzar had left in charge. And so the people freaked. What are we going to do? Let's just run to Egypt. And the word of God came to Jeremiah, and he said to the people, now, God is telling you, be strong. Do not fear. Hang here. Don't go to Egypt. If you will stick with me, if you will be strong and courageous, if you will do as I tell you, you will be okay. Don't be afraid. But then God says, if you disobey me and you go to Egypt thinking that's how you will spare your lives and be able to escape the sword and the famine and the plague, he said, oh, I will find you there in Egypt and you will come under the sword and the plague. And in other words, God is saying, these promises are there if you obey me. Okay, so obedience, faith, faithfulness is very important. Cowardice is not of God. And it's a beautiful text, powerful text that says, perfect love, God's love is perfect. Perfect love casts out all fear. If you are saturated with God's love, that love forces out, just expels fear from you. And so your heart is just courageous, literally. And so Paul gives these words to the young pastor Timothy. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, some verses, some translations translate it, timidity. Others, it's, for God did not give us a spirit of fear. I particularly like the Spanish translation, cobardía. God did not give us a spirit of cobardía, which is cowardice. God did not make us to be cowards. Don't you love that? He doesn't want us to be cowards. He wants us to have power and love and self-control, or a sound mind, you know, a whole mind, have integrity. So cowardice is not of God. And then courage is found in God's presence. How can we be strong and courageous? We're supposed to just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps in the midst of all this, these fearful things going on around us, in the midst of just, you know, honestly, even as I look out, I mean, we've got fearful things happening. We got cancer right in our midst. I mean, death is presence in the room, even. And we've got situations, they're just out of hand. I know it. Be strong. Be courageous. Be very strong and courageous. Why? Because I will be with you. So there's this huge word, three-letter word, four, okay? And it shows up in many of these texts where God says, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be very strong and courageous. Four, because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the promise. And so literally, it is God being present and literally like our bodyguard. Psalm 91. In fact, let's just turn to this. Let's do a little exercise today. Let's do some flipping of pages. All right, grab your Bible, turn to Psalm 91. Psalms are right there in the middle of your Bible. You just pretty much most, like the Pew Bible, just open it up almost in the middle of the Bible. Boom, you're going to find the Psalms. Go to Psalm 91. Okay. For those who will walk with the Lord, this is what your existence will be like. Okay? All right. If you're walking with the Lord, here's what it is. Psalm 91, starting with verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, I mean, you just dwell in the shelter, in the presence of the Lord, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. Listen up, everybody. Everybody that's got those fears. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. God will be your bodyguard. He's just going to keep you tucked right there. I mean, as you walk along, literally, your bodyguard has his arm around you. Everywhere you go, this massive, awesome bodyguard is with you. So what's your existence going to be like? Verse 5, you will not fear the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you. So here, your bodyguard, he's going to call out the special ops forces from heaven. Angelic bodyguards, all right? He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Won't even stumble on a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Anyway, let's flip over to Psalm 121. Are you getting the idea? God is this awesome. We know he's awesome. We know that he is the most dominant force, period. And he's just got his arm wrapped around you, walking with you. Same thing, Psalm 121, our bodyguard. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. There, he's that close to you. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Day nor night, he is there, never sleeping. The Lord will keep you from all harm. That's me. Sorry. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The other day, I was having I've got a mentoring relationship with Steve Haynes. Some of you met him, Navigators guy, and I had to almost giggle when he asked the question in the midst of the mentoring, and it was a question on his little sheet, and basically said, you know, have you ever, gone out on a limb trusting God and God came through? And I kind of giggled. It's kind of like, that was my whole existence as a missionary. I mean, and even today, I mean, it's just, yeah, always just going out on a limb. Here we go, God. Here we go again. And, you know, I just started recounting. Well, daily, weekly, I was walking in Cabrini Green in Chicago for 4 years, you know. I was walking sometimes in the evenings on the south side of Chicago, evangelizing and discipling male prostitutes. Let's talk about Columbia now. And Columbia, they had asked me to conduct a Bible study for orphan kids. And I've always said and always believed there is no safer place in this world than smack dab in the middle of God's will. If you're centered in God's will, fear not, for I am with you. Right? I mean, Psalm 91, Psalm 121, right there. I mean, he is just, you're tucked right under his wing, right? So, I mean, from a human perspective, this is stupid. Because, I mean, something like 6 o'clock at night, I was supposed to give this Bible study in Medellin, Colombia. Pablo Escobar had just been killed about 6 months prior, assassinated about 6 months prior to the time that I arrived in Medellin. And still, literally, I mean, it was just, there was chaos going on. And going and doing this Bible study for these orphan kids, I would, you know, by the time I got out of the orphanage, nightfall, and I'd have to walk about a mile through the center of downtown Medellin to my bus stop, and all alone, tall gringo, and I mean, again, human perspective, you know, just if the State Department had been asked about this, they would have just said, what are you thinking? Are you an idiot? So as I'm walking along, I'm just kind of reciting in my mind some of these verses, and a little ditty came to me. And all of a sudden, boom, I was able to think about it, memorize it, get it down. And went like this. But having just read Psalm 91, Psalm 121, here's the way it goes. You literally develop a chip on your shoulder and you walk with a swagger in the midst of the most dangerous places in the world. I got me a bodyguard who's walking next to me. I got me a bodyguard as big as can be. Always by my side, yeah, he never rests. I done got me the best of the best. So take your gun, take your sword. There ain't no contest for my Lord. Bring on your fight, a whole army. Ain't nothing can touch me. My bodyguard's with me. It's just walking with this swagger. I mean, unarmed gringo in the midst of Medellin, Colombia. Why? Not because I'm tough. And that is the thing. The minute we think that we're the one who are going to be threatening any kind of demonic forces, that would be stupid. No, we walk with a swagger knowing who's walking right there behind us, beside us really, arm around us. Think about it this way, dads, okay? And my son was up here for the children's sermon, little blonde, tow-haired kid, 7 years old, all right? Imagine this. Imagine tomorrow, all of a sudden I come outside, and I can see the neighbor kids are actually real cool kids, but you know, about 15 years old, something like that. Imagine if I come outside and I walk up on the scene, and one of them's got my son down, and he's taunting him, and he's teasing him, and he's got his fist cocked. Dads, what you gonna do? You think that 15-year-old kid stands a chance when I get my hands on him? And I'm just gonna be praying, dear God, don't put me in jail for this, all right? That's the exact same feeling God has for his children. When he sees his children in trouble, and the cool thing with God is, he's always there. So it's not like he's walking up on the scene and going to be surprised by this. He sees it coming. I think probably we're going to get up to heaven, and maybe we're going to see on a screen God replaying, you know, our life. And it's going to be so cool as he can just kind of show us and go, see how I helped you to avoid danger there? See how I had angels that ran interference for you so that nothing happened to you? See how I rescued you from this? See how I rescued you from that? Honestly. And God has this jealous, defensive attitude, just like any father would for his child, right? The main thing is, don't walk away from your bodyguard. That would be the absolute dumbest thing any of us could ever do. And yet every time we walk towards sin, that is what we're doing. And for how many of us, as we've walked towards sin, that's where we got messed up and in trouble. And that's where we got beat up and viciously. We can't walk away from our bodyguard. So, as long as we're walking with our bodyguard, courage, fearlessness, walk with a swagger, all right? Next point I have is just know your enemy. It's in verse 12. Paul tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. All right? But then he goes on and says, but it is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Those of you who've been here the whole time I've been preaching, you know, I don't talk much about Satan. Honestly, I don't want to give him much press time. And neither this morning do I want to. Sadly, I mean, in a lot of churches, it's the devil this, Satan that, Satan. It's almost like the name of the devil gets mentioned more than the name of Jesus. And I won't give him the press time. We need to be astute. We need to understand what are his tactics, what's he up to, what's he about. And yet, one of the devil's principal weapons is fear. And the more you talk about it, can actually provoke fear, playing into his hand, all right? So I don't like to talk much about it, and not like we bury our heads in the sand. Please, no. No, we need to be astute. But honestly, if you are focused on God and focused on your relationship with God and developing a deep intimacy with God, and so much so that you're tucked under his wing and he's got his arm around you, you don't have to be at all concerned with what the devil's doing over there, because your bodyguard is right there with you. But as far as his tactics, I mean, literally in some of those verses that I cited there, John 8:44, Jesus says, he is a murderer and he is the father of lies. In 2 Timothy, Paul says, a lot of people have been taken captive to do his will. So his MO is to capture, stalk. Literally, Peter says that he stalks us like a lion waiting to devour. I mean, you know, that image. He is vicious, he is ferocious. And Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I mean, he's just malicious. He is literally evil and diabolic. And as far as his power, I mean, his power seems to be quite extensive. I mean, when Jesus was being tempted by him, he took him to a very high pinnacle and showed him all the kingdoms and splendor of the world and said, all this I will give to you. He had that authority over the kingdoms and their splendor. And Jesus in John 14:30 refers to him as the prince of this world. And he says, actually, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. All right? So, dude, yeah, this guy's got some strength and authority and power, but it doesn't compare to the power God has in his pinky. And that's the wonderful thing, the beautiful thing. So the minute we start to think, man, and hey, myself versus the devil, any one of us versus the devil, I mean, no contest. It'd be just brutal, a brutal battle. Now, absolutely, one of the worst things you can ever do is try and step out from under God's authority and try and confront the devil in your own authority. You're toast. Now, clothed with Christ under his authority, now Jesus even gave us the authority to cast out demons. So, all right, know whom you serve. And God's power is phenomenal. There's some wonderful stories. If you want to, for your Bible study and devotional time this week, go through some of those scripture texts I listed there. There's some wonderful ones. 1 Samuel 5, that's a great story. You guys got to look it up. It's almost comical, showing the dominance that God has over these other idols and so-called gods. You know, Jesus comes upon this demoniac guy, the guy just filled with demons. So, he's got so many demons inside of him. When Jesus asks them their name, they say Legion, because there's so many of us. And yet, this man and all these devils were just shuddering, screaming out to God, please, please, don't mess with us. They were terrified in the presence of Jesus Christ. And I love this story, too, in 2 Kings 6. All right, let me give you the context. Let's turn there. Again, we're going to do a little walking around the Bible. So from Psalms, go backwards. Get into 2 Kings, 2 Kings 6. This is a hilarious story. So the king of Aram, he keeps trying to set up these ambushes against the king of Israel, right? He keeps setting up these ambushes. Well, the prophet Elisha, he just keeps telling the king, hey, by the way, you need to watch out. If you guys, when you're heading down that way, there's an ambush set up, so you need to, you know, go another way. So they keep escaping these ambushes, and finally, the king of Aram is just furious and beside himself, and he's asking his officials, he's like, all right, who among us, you know, is giving this information out? One of his officials speaks up and says, hey, it is not one of us. It's Elisha. And it's just like everything you say, even the secrets in your bedroom, he says to the king of Israel. So the king of Aram, he says, get your best forces and you go and get this guy. So he starts sending out his Delta Force, man. You know, he's going to go after him. And it's a large force. So this force arrives, gets there, goes at night, and then morning comes, and they've surrounded the whole city. It's an impressive force. And so Elisha's servant gets up, goes out to do his duties, looks out there, and the place is surrounded. He's freaking out, and he goes and tells Elisha, you know, but read then verses We're starting with verse 16, or just verse 16. So the servant has just said, "Oh my Lord, what shall we do?" I love Elisha's answer. Listen to the swagger in his voice. "Nah, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Remember Psalm 91? That he will command his angels concerning you. God had sent his special forces, spec ops, in there. Horses and chariots of fire, angels of fire surrounding Elisha. And the cool thing was, Elisha could see it all along. Paul has another verse, wonderful verse in the New Testament. He says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, for what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is unseen is eternal." And then he says also in Colossians 3:2, he says, "So poned la mira en las cosas de arriba y no en las de la tierra." I memorized in Spanish. Sorry, I didn't memorize in English. But basically it says, set your eyes on things above, not on earthly things. Elisha's eyes were so set on the eternal, unseen things, he could see the spiritual forces. Talk about boldness. Talk about being able to walk around with a swagger, huh? And so here, you know, the king of Aram sends his army against me. He's just laughing. In fact, his next prayer is, "Hey God, blind them." So he prays that, and sure enough, they're blind. And he just approaches the military guys and he says, "Follow me if you want to find the one you seek." And he just leads them right through the gates of Samaria, the capital city of Israel. And all of a sudden, boom, when their eyes are open, this military force is surrounded. They're in the midst of Samaria, surrounded by Israel's king and his forces. I mean, what an amazing sense of power. Not trusting in himself, trusting in God. Trusting in God's power. All right? So I've got some verses there about Jesus' authority too. And basically, it's just Jesus has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. This is who we have on our side. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Who? We literally have God right there and angelic forces all around us. That is the promise for those who are walking with him, centered in his will. That's the hitch, all right? So if you've been getting beaten up, if life has been filled with anxiety. And by the way, basically, a tough question is, whose influence have you been under? Because if the devil's most prominent weapon is fear, and my heart and my mind has been filled with fear and anxiety, the question is, whose influence have you been under? I even get uncomfortable with that question. We need to literally come under the influence of God. I've said it before, we need to be DUI, or WUI, walking under the influence of the Spirit, and under the influence of God. We need to saturate our minds with the Word of God. Don't look to me for help. I mean, I can help you, you know, as far as setting up Bible studies and everything, but look to the Lord. "Well, Pastor Steve, can you pray for me?" Well, I can, but here's the deal, too. As you saturate your mind with the Word of God, and I mean saturate, so you're not just reading it, but you're writing down those key verses that jump off the page and leap off the page and really, oh, yeah, and then you commit those to memory, and then you're memorizing, but you're meditating on them, you're just saturating your minds with Christ. The peace that passes all understanding starts to guard your heart and your mind in Christ. Peace. Perfect love, expelling, casting out all fear from your life. Want to live that way? Whose influence are you walking under? Keep connecting with God through prayer. So quick recommendations, prayer. Just keep connecting with God. I've got some verses there. You can study those up. Memorize them. Memorize them. Just stay connected with God consistently through the day. I mean, just pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Just keep connecting with God through prayer. God's word, saturating your heart and mind with his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, Lord. Yeah, and stay next to your bodyguard. As long as you're walking right with God, step by step. Don't get out ahead of him. Don't rush ahead. His pace, by the way, tends to be slower than ours. I keep having to remind myself of that. Don't get out from, and certainly don't divert from his paths. Don't leave your bodyguard. Stay real tight, real close to him. And walk with a swagger. Go ahead as your heart is just filled with courage, fearlessness. Now that's the way to live life. A life like that is really thriving. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would lead us into that kind of living. I mean, even dangerous living for you, walking in ungodly places or being able to walk in ungodly places surrounded by hostility and yet unafraid. Courageous. Simply because we know, we trust, because we have experienced that you are with us and that you are not just good, you are awesome. And no force, nothing created under the heavens and earth could ever come against you. And so if we are with you, who can be against us? Praise be to you, God. And so with the anxieties and fears and stresses that we bring here today, help us, God, just to lay them at your altar in prayer. And then just as we get them out of our hearts, replace that void with your word, with your spirit, with your perfect love. And Lord God, may we totally be completely under your influence, literally possessed by your Holy Spirit, and then filled with your Spirit and having the fruit of your Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control abounding in our hearts and lives. And then may we so reflect, first in our own homes, but then everywhere else we go, may we reflect that confidence, that love, that light, that strength. And Lord God, may we be witnesses of your great goodness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.